The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And with Paul Lane, Paul Tubby Lane, the head coach at Nawachi High School in South Nawachi, Nebraska. And thanks for joining us, Coach. And motivating kids is a serious business. And you really, you don't think there's enough of it being done, right, at the high school level?
Well, Phil, I don't think motivating children is being done enough, not only at the high school level, at the grade school level. I believe so much in our kids. I believe in motivating our kids. I think what happened at our high school last week is an example that there are people like me, there are adults like me, there are teachers like me who want to motivate our kids, and there are adults who want to, I guess, keep us in the past. I built a trophy case 15 years ago in our student quad area to hold what I hoped would be 15 crosstown rivalry trophies. And I have tried to motivate our football team to win the annual game against South Hillcrest High School.
They have not won, have they? I mean, you guys have not?
No, sir, we have not in 15 years. And I came to the school wanting desperately, desperately, to win our annual crosstown game with South Hillcrest. It would put us on the map as a high school power. And last Friday night...
They beat you guys again on Friday night. What was the score?
We lost 37-14. Our kids were not motivated. I have tried everything. I've been friends with the head coach over at Hillcrest, Gene Hart. He and I both worked on Gene Hartel's staff, University of Minnesota, for 15 years. I've done everything I could to motivate these young men. I believe in our kids.
Well, what happened? You have not won this game, and the parents now, you have been put on notice. You are under review because the parents complained following the game, correct?
Well, let me tell you what happened. I didn't want to lose this game. I don't think our kids want to lose this game. I told the kids that I have been frustrated all season. I was frustrated during summer camp. I didn't think they were giving it their all during summer football. And I told them, you are going to go out there, and you are going to run the ball, and you're going to pass that ball, and you're going to get the ball in the end zone and say, help me. And I said the words. I said, so help me, Jesus Christ. I will not be let down again, and I will do to you what Kobe Bryant did to that girl.
And did you also make reference to the Mepham High situation?
I said, I will. You heard about what happened to kids back east.
And well, you didn't threaten them with sodomizing them, right?
No, sir, I didn't. I said that I would take it out of them. I said that, I would hurt them and I would hurt their parents. And I do admit saying that, and I did admit saying that to the school board.
You said to the kids that if they lost that game Friday night, you would hurt them and you'd hurt their parents.
I said it out of frustration. I said it because we had lost 15 straight games to this crosstown team. I said it because our kids are not motivated. I said it because the parents don't motivate them. I said it because other coaches cannot motivate them. I said it because there are groups of teachers and coaches such as myself who try to motivate these kids.
And well, the quote to the school board and the local newspaper there in Nawachi was the one that you initially said, you'd treat the boys and their parents the way Kobe treated that girl. You don't deny that.
No, sir, I do not deny that. I said that.
Well, did you mean that literally?
I said it in a figurative sense. I said I'd figuratively do that. You have to understand how angry I was. We had lost 15 straight. But what's happened now is I'm being cast in the role of the bad guy because I'm trying to motivate these kids. And the police, who charged me with making verbal threats, have created a defense situation for me. And the reason why I wanted to come on your program, Mr. Henry, is to let people know that I'm with them. If they want to motivate kids, I want to motivate kids. We've got a lot of very lazy parents. We've got a lot of parents out there that don't care. And if they could show their support for me by making a donation to the Paul Lane Foundation, which will help cover my court costs, as well as help reinstate me at Nawachi High School.
All right, you were charged by the police with making terrorist threats, verbal threats. One of the parents said you called and threatened her with rape if her son and the team lost the game. Is that true?
No, sir, it is not true. I said...
Well, the comment that you would treat them like Kobe...
No, sir, I did not say that. I said that to their sons.
And let me ask you, did you have any intention, if the kids lost the game, to go and literally rape the mothers of these...
No, sir, I said that I would be... I'd want to hurt them. I said that I would want to hurt them and that I would want to hurt their parents, but I didn't say that I would hurt them. I said that my frustration with them runs that deep. I'm saying that I believe in motivating kids, and I'm the bad guy. Now I've been, you know, I've been charged.
Okay, Paul, I kind of get your frustration, although your method is a little to threaten kids because they haven't been able to win this game year in and year out.
Well, how do you motivate these kids? The kids today are so unmotivated because they got parents that just don't care. They've got parents that so little is expected of them. And that to me is, I guess, the thing that...
All right. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Paul Lane, and I'm sorry if you came in on this halfway, is a head coach at South Nawachi High. You're in Nawachi, Nebraska, correct?
That is correct.
Where is that?
That is 50 miles northeast of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Now, you said you needed to motivate these kids. You wanted to win this crosstown rivalry. You were in the locker room last week, Friday night, right?
That is correct, yes.
And you said to the kids, if you don't win this game, I'm going to hurt you and I'm going to hurt your parents.
Yes, sir, I do. I don't deny that. But this is motivation. I did not mean this literally. I was trying to motivate these boys because, again, Phil, the bottom line for me and the bottom line for parents like me is to motivate young people to excellence, to have them achieve things that they themselves have never thought they could achieve, and to have them be proud of themselves at the end of an evening of football. I did say that I would treat them the way Kobe treated that girl, which is not to say that I believe Kobe raped that girl, but he treated her, I mean, he turned her around and bent her over a chair, and what I'm trying to say...
Well, the mother, it seems to think that you threatened her specifically with rape.
No, I did not. I said to her, I said to this lady's name is Ms. McMullen, and her son, Kenneth, is starting a tailback for us. And I said to her, I told Kenny that I'd treat him and I'd treat his mother, you know, like Kobe treated that girl. But it's not clear whether he raped her or not. My understanding, it's consensual.
Well, then you'd have, what, consensual rough sex with her?
No, sir, I would not.
Well, that's what you're threatening her with.
Well, I'm threatening her with, you know, I would dominate her, and I was threatening her son with that. I would say, well, I'll dominate your mother over a chair. But again, you have to understand, the reason why I did this is to motivate these boys. My number one concern, unlike most parents, is to motivate young people to do their very best. And I happen to be, I think, one of the best.
Paul Lane's with us, 1-800-449-8686. He's talking about having been suspended by Nawachi High School. He threatened the kids with physical harm if they didn't win this game last Friday night. You also said you'd treat them the way Kobe treated that girl, and including their families. What, when you say that you're motivated, you don't think other parents and coaches are motivated?
No, it's not that, Mr. Andrew. I don't think they motivate enough. I don't think they have the guts to motivate our kids. I think we need to push them and push them and push them. Even push them with fear. Push them with the threat of violence, but do it. Kids, you know, I look around today, I get so frustrated. Kids today just don't do anything. Not the way we did. Not the way we pushed it. Not the way we achieved excellence. Nowadays, I hear you talk a lot of times about baby boomers. Well, say what you will about baby boomers. I mean, we kicked some ass, you know, if you'll pardon my expression. But these kids today, they're living in their mom's basement until they're 28. They're losers. And when I try to get these boys to win a crosstown rivalry football game that we haven't won for 15 years, and I threaten them with violence, I say that I'm going to bend your mother over a chair, and they still can't win it? I think the problem's not with me. I think it's with them.
All right, let me talk to a lady here in Santa Cruz, California. Barbara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a high school teacher, and I've done a lot of coaching. And
do you coach, Barbara? What did you coach?
Softball.
Okay.
And I've coached mostly softball and track. And I want to address a few of the points that this fellow's making. For one thing, high school kids and kids today athletically are actually getting better all the time. Records are constantly being broken.
Yeah, but they're juiced up. A lot of kids are using steroids.
Oh,
I can tell you right now, the kids are using these legal over-the-counter steroids.
Right. So the kids that are breaking records and doing well are, in general, using drugs, is what you're saying?
I'm saying the kids today motivate themselves in an unhealthy way. And I want them to have a pure, organic experience of achieving without having to juice themselves up.
I don't think that what you're saying about students today achieving only because of drugs, it's just so ridiculous.
They
it doesn't really fair
pills.
Going into.
Right, can
my
I
other point
you
are,
you're a coach, right?
I have been a coach,
right,
and I have two children who, of course, don't use drugs and are motivated.
Is this the way you address your team, ma'am? Because you are a little dull to listen to.
Who are motivated.
Well, wait a minute.
Who am I talking to?
I happen to be Paul Tubby Lane. I'm the head coach of Nawatchie High School. I've won four Division II championships in the state of Nebraska.
You, sir, need to let me speak. It's my turn to speak.
That's fine, but, I mean, it's going on and on and on. And I think you need to make your point in a more concise way, that's all.
Look, let the lady say the way she wants to say it.
Children are motivated by kindness. And our kids today are, in general, with some exceptions, of course, great kids. You belong nowhere near children.
Well,
your attitude is so negative towards humanity in general.
You've never won a championship.
You're not letting me speak.
You've never won a championship. You've never won a championship, ma'am, I can tell, because you sound weak. And you don't sound motivated.
You sound cruel.
Well, I've won three Division II.
Be near children.
Really? I'll bend them over a chair.
And I think that you're going to lose your case because you're psychotic and angry.
Well, I win championships, man. I don't sit there and play touchy-feely, okay?
You shouldn't work with children because I don't think you like them.
I think it's suspicious
I don't think you like people
softball.
Or children.
I don't think you...
And you need to get away from both.
I think
your
you like
anger
girls
level
a lot.
Is
I think
frightening.
You like, I think you like women a lot, though, with that softball thing. Yeah, I do. I really do.
Whatever.
I really do. No, honestly,
I can't.
What's that supposed
I can't
to mean? You
deal with
softball.
This ridiculous person.
Ridiculous?
And I can't believe you're giving him airtime.
I can't believe you've taken
God bless
part.
Wait a minute,
sir.
Folks.
I hope you get help.
Wait a minute, folks.
Well, see, she hung up because... Now, what I was going to say to you, Phil, is that all of these people, look, now she's listening to herself on the radio. Let me just say this. I think you are an unshaven dyke, ma'am. The lady that's listening on her radio right now is an unshaven dyke.
Will you stop that, please?
Mr. Henry, I motivate children. I don't sit around like some borderline lesbian softball coach. And
the lady didn't say anything like that. She teaches softball. She did a lot of sports, Mr. Lane. And the fact that you are suspended by the board, I can sympathize, but we have to cut through a lot of this stuff. You threatened these boys and their parents with some level of violence if they didn't win the game on Friday night.
And they didn't win. And what does that tell you?
Well, obviously it tells me that they're not motivated by your violence.
It tells you that they're not motivated at all. That these kids are so numb to being motivated and to achieve and to be champions that even when I say that I'm going to treat you the way the kids back at Mepham High, and I didn't be specific, but you know what happened to them. They've been over, and they had to accommodate things in their, you know. And that's what I'm saying.
All right, we don't have to be graphic. Hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. Paul Lane, head coach at Nawatchie High School, says he believes in motivating kids, and his belief in motivating kids has gotten him on suspension from that high school. They went to he was coaching them at a crosstown rivalry football game last Friday night. He threatened the kids, he admits it, with violence. He threatened the parents of those kids with violence. They lost the game anyway, and he has been suspended. He has a defense fund that he started, the Paul Lane Foundation, and he'd like some help. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are with Paul Lane, a high school coach. You're the Paul Lane Foundation, Coach Lane, that is going to help you pay for your defense. You've been accused of making terrorist threats against the students and the high school parents, right?
Well, Phil, exactly. The Paul Lane Foundation will help us with our defense fund. These charges are unwarranted. We, as I said, are about motivation and nothing more. It also will help us fund our Paul Lane Mountain Retreat for boys, a motivational retreat where we teach motivational techniques, and we do it in a brand new way. We don't do anything other than motivate, motivate, motivate to win, win, win. And I'm leaving the high school because I can't stand working with American suburban kids anymore in this environment. These parents are driving me out of my mind, so I want to work with kids whose parents see my way.
All right. Well, part of the way that you motivated was to threaten the kids with they'll treat them the way that guy at Mepham High treated them, the way Kobe treated that girl.
Again, that was consensual sex.
All right, so you weren't threatening that kid's mother with rape. You were threatening her with rough consensual sex.
Again, I think you're focusing too much on...
Well, no. Isn't that true?
If you want to put it that way, yes, sir.
All right, I want to be clear. Let me go over to Vicki. Vicki, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello,
Yes.
You are the most horrible man I have heard in a long time. You have no business being around children.
Well, ma'am,
you
I don't
have
know
no business being a teacher or a coach. And if I was lived out there, I would make it my personal mission to make sure you were never around children again. Never had a foundation, never had a motivational camp, never were around children again.
I don't
you
understand.
You are horrible.
What have I done? What did I do? Except
you
try to...
You abused children, and you abused their parents.
Ma'am, I never laid a hand on these kids.
You abused them.
I never laid a hand on these boys, and I never laid a hand on anybody.
You verbally abused them.
In what way, ma'am? I'm trying to motivate these kids to win a football game.
That is not how you motivate it. That is not how you motivate someone. And maybe if you were a good coach, and maybe if you motivated them correctly...
Well, what did I say?
Maybe you would have been winning the last 15 years rather than losing.
What did I say specifically that you find fault with? Hello?
Well, Mr. Henry
yes.
Specifically gave some everything that you said about Kobe Bryant. That's disgusting. That's not motivation. That's disgusting. That is abusive.
Well, ma'am,
Mr. Lane, you said that you would treat his mother the way Kobe treated that girl.
Mr. Henry, that is, as far as I'm concerned, consensual sex. Is that correct?
Well, let's say it was. What are you talking about? You got to have consensual sex with the kid's mother?
I've got to find a way to get these kids. This lady, with all due respect, the lady I'm talking to, is a perfect example of the parents I deal with.
Listen,
soft,
I have been coaching
kids
boys
are unmotivated.
For over 20 years, and I successfully motivate boys to win. I coach basketball, I coach soccer, I coach Little League, and I successfully have winning teams for over 20 years. I spend my time volunteering. I don't get paid like you do, sir.
Well, ma'am, if you're
and
so good, how come you're not? If you're so good,
win.
Why aren't you in Division I football? I don't understand that. If you're so good.
It's a sport. It's motivating children, whatever it is, and I have never, ever, ever abused one child verbally, physically, or any other way.
Well,
I treat their parents with respect, and I treat the children with respect. That's what they deserve.
Well, I'm
sure. You have no business being around children.
Basically, what you're telling me is you've got a very high opinion of yourself, which doesn't prove anything, okay? That's why you lose.
You actually have a very high opinion of yourself.
That's why you don't win. That's why you don't win, though, because you...
I do, and I have a winning team. I always beat the men. Always beat the men.
Am I wrong, Mr. Henry? She said she does not win, but it doesn't matter to her.
I do win.
No, you said you don't win.
I have a winning team.
You said you have a losing team.
No, she said she had a winning team for over 20
years.
She said her teams lose, but she doesn't care. See? And that's what's wrong with America.
Well, that's not what she said.
That's not what I said at all. I have had winning teams for over 20 years in three different sports. I've never abused any of my kids.
Wait, ma'am, you know that to win means you have to have more points than the other team, right? You're aware of that.
Okay, now what's that support?
Oh, aren't we smart?
No, ma'am, I'm trying...
Don't talk to me like... You don't need to talk down to me.
I don't know. In other words, you understand that...
She knows that. Yes, she knows it. Thank you, Vicki. I have to run.
1-800...
I bet your kids are soft and smooth like a baby's rear end. Oh, man, I'd love to get a hold of that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked.
Henry Jerry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That was what I meant.
All right, let me ask the audience. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Paul Lane is with us. High school football coach has been suspended by Nawachi High. That's in Nawachi. It's a suburb of Lincoln, Nebraska. You say you motivate kids with love.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, there is an incident that one of the parents complained about that you showed the kids a ball hitch that is used for a trailer.
Yes, sir, and I did that through love. Now, let me tell you how you work with young people. You first of all have to motivate them with a loving heart. If I tell a child that I'd like to hurt him and hurt his family bad, what I'm trying to get out of him is a motivation and an achievement that he may never have in his life. When I demonstrated, I showed them the ball hitch on a trailer, and I said to them that what the boys at Mepham High School went through is nothing compared to this, going to the place where those boys had to have stuff put. And I said it with love, and I said it with motivation. No, I did have, I had no intention that time to do that.
Were you threatening to push that thing up some kid's rear end?
Okay, again, you're focusing on the negative.
No, I'm not focusing on any negative. I just want to know, you believe in threatening.
But what you're doing, Phil, is you are undercutting the work of the Paul Lane Foundation and our Paul Lane Retreats, where we try to motivate young people to go higher than these soft, touchy-feely parents will ever go. Yeah, I showed them a ball hitch to a trailer. And now what are you telling me? That the human can't accommodate that with ground lubrication or...
Wait. That's got nothing to do with anything. What I'm talking about is motivating through fear, which is what you're doing. 1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Listen, bud, Paul, you absolutely have no idea how to coach kids, all right? Listen to me. My father coached football for 30 years, all right? Not once did he ever have to threaten the kid or his family to win a championship,
okay? You're supposed to win.
Not once.
You're supposed to win, too.
Yeah, I understand that. He never, ever had to do that, okay?
All right, but
I don't think
you
have any idea of what's going on.
Did he win?
And on top of that, what business do you have talking to these ladies that call him like this? Like, where'd you grow up, man? A barn? Like, what's going on?
I don't understand what he said.
Like, you have no idea how to coach kids.
Hey, kid, I don't know where you're calling from or what your problem is. I'm a high school football coach. I win championships. I do it my way.
Yeah, you do.
And
you're right.
Because your daddy did it
my father
way.
Did it his
well,
way,
okay.
too.
Why
and
you
he wins championships, too.
Well, why don't you have your father call in, okay? Because what do you,
okay,
do?
You know
what do you do for a living?
Well, I'll
what
tell you something, all right?
What do you do for a living?
You have...
Hey, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for
you
a living?
You carry the bag for your dad? You carry the balls for your dad or what?
No, you know what? I make calls for myself. And I tell guys like you that you have no idea what you're talking about.
You're
because guess
or...
what? I'm a kid too. And if you tried to motivate me like that,
yeah.
I would definitely not play for you. And you'd be surprised if you were still walking by the end of the day.
I doubt that, son. I've had a lot of... I've had a lot of threats in my day, and I can handle... Little spindly kid like you.
And how did it feel being threatened anyway? How did it feel?
Where do you
imagine that little kid start being threatened?
Where do you pump gas? I'll come over and give you an extra 20, all right?
All right, I'll do that. Don't worry.
Hey, Joe,
I'll make sure and do that.
By the way, take your nose out of your dad's ass. And try
okay,
to say,
look,
all right,
look,
buddy,
man.
Don't worry.
Look,
you know what?
That's the whole thing.
You have no business around kids at all.
All right, you got a little brown on the end of your nose.
Can we talk like adults here?
Well, this gentleman called up and said that his father knows how to win championships.
I'm telling you.
He's got no proof.
Now,
you can look
I don't, right?
You can look up
okay.
my name in the Nebraska
right.
Hall of Fame.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you
if
decide
I said
that
you
can coach kids properly, then you come back and talk to me.
Hey,
but
Joe,
until
Joe,
then,
Joe,
I don't think you have any business around kids whatsoever.
Joe, this is Phil Henry. Let me ask you a question. Your father coached football, correct?
He did, indeed.
All right. Did your father ever go to the extreme of showing a ball hitch to kids and saying, you're going to get that pushed up your rear end if you don't win? I mean...
Oh, Mr. Henry, I had no...
No, wait, I'm asking this man what his father did. Okay? He never did that, right?
No, absolutely
okay.
not. That's
yeah, but his old man didn't win football games either.
But he said that he did win football games.
Absolutely.
I doubt how you can motivate a young man without putting the fear of Jesus H. Christ into his soul... And saying this ball hitch is going to go places that it's never was intended to go, unless you guys get out there.
Well, you did that last Friday night, and you didn't win the game. You lost to a crosstown rival, 15th year in a row.
That's why we've started the Paul Lane Foundation. I just want people to
see. You're frustrated because you don't
I want people to call in and show me support, not people who are going to cry and whine and give excuses like this Joe here.
Do you think you deserve support? Is that what you think you deserve?
Because I want to
motivate you. I think you deserve a jail cell, my friend.
I want to know what you do for a living. I really do. I just want to know what your profession is.
You want to know? I'm a telemarketer. How's that?
There you go. That's what your father got you to do. Making phone a bucket shop selling pens and pencils.
Yeah, whatever, buddy. I'm going to school. So what's the problem?
Yeah, the problem is you're calling up, making obscene phone calls to housewives. And
all right, look, I don't want to hear this anymore. Listen, Joe, thank you for your call. The guy's a telemarketer.
Yeah, pain in the ass. Look up telemarketer in a dictionary, and you'll see pain in the ball hitch.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, well, good evening.
Good evening, Mike.
I'm a teacher, and I'm listening to this gentleman on the phone. I teach alternative education, students at risk, students who quit school, students who have problems with the law, and so forth. And I've been teaching this type of kids for about 6 years. I have never, ever threatened my students. I teach them love, and I have excelled. I've gotten them to reach their highest level. Today, some of my students go to college.
Some, not all.
And they go to college, they're being productive citizens. And the way you go about it, sir, threatening in any way, shape, or form, you should not be teaching children.
I don't really hurt them. But what I want to say to you, Mike, is this. The Paul Lane Foundation is dedicated to the very things you're talking about, motivating young people.
You motivate through love.
Well, here's the thing. This is Phil Henry, Mike. The stationery that you have for the Paul Lane Foundation, the symbol of your company is a ball hitch, isn't it?
That is correct, yeah.
I wouldn't even dare ever touch a kid. I give kids love, pure, nothing but love, never verbal abuse in any way, shape, or form. And you show it. Once you get the student to trust you, to be on your side, the student will do wonders for you. The student will go beyond the call of duty, but verbal abuse won't happen.
That's true, but all I said to these boys was that if they didn't win the game, they'd deserve to be treated like that girl that, you know, Kobe had. Now, the symbol, by the way, Mr. Henry, of our foundation, the Paul Lane Foundation, is a fuzzy tennis ball hitch. It's not a steel ball hitch. And I think there's a very, very big difference.
Well, what difference does that make?
I think there's a huge difference. And I'm sure Mike would agree.
No, no, no.
What is that?
I can't agree. I cannot agree to verbal abuse.
Mike, can I ask you something, sir? You're an educator. I have great respect for you. I'm in a gymnasium right now. I have not attempted 250 pounds on a clean and jerk, but I want you to listen to this because this is what motivation does. Listen to this.
What are you doing now?
Hold on. I'm on a clean and jerk. 250. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it.
If I were a child and they did that to me,
I couldn't do it.
If I were a child and they did that to me,
that ball hitch.
Go ahead, Mike.
Off.
What's that, Mike?
Our students from inner cities are producing. They're winners by tender love.
Look at that.
And solid motivation.
Well, my lower intestine's sticking out right now, so you'll pardon me if I didn't hear everything you said.
God! Oh, my God.
You see, what I do, Mike, when I don't clean and jerk the pounds that I want to, I go into the office and I look at myself and I tell myself that I will go out and look for someone to sodomize me if I don't do this. So I threaten myself. Watch this.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. This is 250 pounds. Please, dear Jesus, let me do it. If I can do this, we'll win the game tonight. Ah! Yeah! I did it. I did it. See, if
sir,
I did this light...
You change your methods to love.
Yes, sir. See, if I put this light on...
Abuse.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I agree with you. Good man.
I've been educating... I've been teaching
See,
32
years. If I put
years.
This light bulb where the sun don't shine, I bet I could lift this. I'm going to put the light bulb up there and...
I don't want to hear about this guy anymore. Mike, you sound like a great man, a great teacher. Thank you for your efforts.
You're welcome.
All right, pal. Bye-bye. Didn't he already say he cleaned and jerked 250? Now he's going to stick a light bulb up there and see if it can go higher? the guy threatens himself. 1-800-449-8686. That was Paul Lane, the suspended head coach of the Nawachi High Bandits. And he has the Paul Lane Foundation, so if you're interested in donating money, we'll give that address later on. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for a walk down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show. Occasionally we get an email from someone who requests a bit from the days of yore. This is a letter from Walter. Hey Phil, I was listening to you last night and you were talking about the use of the F word in the media. When you were threatening to say the word, which you actually did, it reminded me of a bit you did with Vernon Dozier when anyone that got on his nerves, he would tell them to F off. The funniest part was there was where he said that he told some kid selling cookies to F off because no kid is going to guilt him into buying cookies. And he looked him straight in the eyes as he walked right past him into the store. If you could play that bit, it would be great. Thanks, Walter. Here it is, Walter, from October 8th. Boy, over a year ago, October 8th of 2002, Vernon Dozier, no kid's going to tell him to buy cookies.
Hey, how can you be a man and set a good example for these kids if you're telling them F off? Why don't you be a man?
What are you talking about?
Hey, no thanks.
What are
you talking about? I don't want the candy bar and walk away.
I did say that.
And then why did you walk away? So why was there any confrontation?
Then he keeps going, oh, sir, it's for our band uniform.
But you walked away. How can you sit there and justify turning around and lowering your level to this kid? Okay, you're turning around as you're walking away, and you're lowering your level. This kid to
right,
say
right.
What you had to say.
That's my point too. And
oh, I've heard your point, Mr. Hendry. I've heard your point is that I'm supposed to sit there and take abuse.
You're walking
abuse?
Away. Hey, man,
you
walk away.
Of?
He's not going to follow you
right.
into the store.
Now,
I've done it too.
Why can't the parents go out there and sell the candy bars like men instead of having the kids go out there?
Hey,
it's
there's
the
plenty
kids
of parents that sit around with their kids for people like you. Okay.
Well, look at
so that you don't see kids out there by themselves. There's everywhere I go to Publix or to grocery stores or to you
right.
know Walmart, wherever I may go, those children are out there with their family.
Yeah.
And their family's out there to protect them, those kids from you. How do you teach your kids? Do you
Wait
have the kids in your classroom coming up to you and say, you know, hey Mr. Paul, can you show me what do you do? F you in a classroom?
I tell these kids to F off if they're asking me, for instance, when I coach football. Some kid comes up to me and asks me about a play that we've run 100 times. I told him to F it.
Why would you tell a kid to F it?
Because he's bugging me. He's guilting me.
So you don't know any other
you know
proper
what?
English
if
words
you,
other than F it?
Yeah, and if you're a teacher, dude, you're in the wrong business if you're telling kids to F it because they're bugging you.
Look, where is it written that a kid gets to violate me with chocolate? I'd like to know that.
Where is it written where the adult violates a kid with the language that you're using? It's
I
not
didn't do
there.
That. I didn't start it. I get out of the car and...
Well, look, you know what this is? This
it
is,
doesn't
you know,
matter, man.
This
the kid's a kid.
This is the, this
they're
is
trying, they think they're doing something. They're taught
exactly.
to do something right and good for the kids.
Look, I told that kid, if he wants to sell me a chocolate bar, all he has to do is say, Mister, do you want a chocolate bar? I'll look him straight in the eye, man to man, and say no. But
hey.
I didn't do that. So
but
I
then
said,
you should have been a man and walked away. You should be showing a good example for these kids. You know, instead, you're teaching these kids, hey, there's assholes out there. Like you, excuse my language.
Wait a minute, you're calling me an asshole?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're acting like one.
If you came up to me and tried to sell me candy, I'd take that Twix bar and I'd tell you to F off.
Hey, you should be a man and walk away from the
right.
kid. The child does not know
These
better.
Poor kids are trying to
okay.
raise money
hey,
because
well,
they don't have
I tell
money
you what,
for schools, you know.
Why don't you get your wife on the phone and find out what the real reason is why you left?
Mr. Henry,
I bet there's more to this story than what the You know, meets the eye there,
oh,
buddy.
Oh, yeah? Have you got a woman that used to work at a peep show as your girlfriend? I don't think so.
Oh, hell no. I wouldn't lower myself to that standard, let alone lower myself to be cursed not a kid.
That ain't necessarily good.
Are you kidding me?
She used to work at a peep show. I hate to tell you that, but that's about the lowest rung on the adult entertainment ladder.
You ain't kidding. You know, that's like a state preview. Let me hide in these closets over here so nobody can see me.
Yeah,
you know?
Let us sit in those booths, man, and stick a quarter. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, who else has been in there that you're you know, you must be, you lowered yourself pretty low teach your kid the wrong language, and then, you know,
I can stare anybody down. I can stare anybody down. Somebody offers me, I'll stare you down, Henry, right now. One, two, three, go. Stare at me.
Yeah, but you got problems, man. You need some help. You need to go see a psychiatrist.
I will stare you down. Come on.
Stare what down? I can't even see you.
Thank you very much.
Who do you think I am? What, are you hanging up? That chicken.
How do you justify doing that, man? I mean,
are you staring at me?
I'm not staring at you. I don't know what to stare at.
I can eyeball you. That kid said the chocolate bars don't have nuts in them, and that kid probably knew I'd had a vasectomy. So all of these things, you put them together, and it's a joke.
So you don't like kids, too?
No, I'm not staring. Thanks a lot, Frank. I'm not staring.
Why not?
I don't know what to stare at.
See, I'm winning. Are you blinking?
Yes, I blinked.
Okay, I win.
There is Vernon Dozier, and he's the head football coach at Belmar Academy in California. His solution to the problem of kids, tell them to F off. Speaking of kids, I have my daughter with me today. Oh, by the way, I'm Phil Hendry. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Coming soon, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. And all of the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. We're very excited about our double CD coming soon. And also visit our website for other fun, www.philhendryshow.com. But anyway, I got Catherine with me today. And she starts in with this 3 weeks ago. She's got magazine sales. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. On a bad day, I do the predictable thing. I say, well, I don't think it's right that the school should be using these children to raise money, but the kids are going out of there, you know. And then on a good day, I say, well, okay, it teaches the kids, it teaches them how to be little salespeople, and they could go out, initiative, etc. Now, Catherine, it turns out she's second in the whole school in selling magazines, and she doesn't let up. She doesn't let up at all. She's going at it morning, noon, and night. We're driving over here, and I said, all right, well, let's get some McDonald's. Okay, I want to rip off the game sticker on the bottom of your fry. I said, I don't want you pulling it out in the car. It's going to get, I just got the car washed. Please. Why? Because if you do, you get some cheap prize. I said, Catherine, well, you got all these magazines sold. What's the deal? I don't understand. Well, then you get to spin the prize wheel. She's crying because we said I didn't fill out the thing in time. Well, I don't get to take it there. Well, what is the thing? You get to spin the prize wheel, and then what do you win? You win a really neat watch. Some cheap crap, right? She comes home with some plastic watch that broke in 2 days, and this is the thing. And she was number two. I said to her, Catherine, forget it, man. Don't be an actress or any of that baloney that girls want to be. Go into sales. I know. Why don't you start selling my show? Sell airtime on my show. She'd kick ass. I'm telling you, she sold, I don't know, there's money, they're still counting the money she made. And she's got a little plastic watch to show for it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show coming back. We've got who else today? Who do we got? Joe Dickhead and the Professor next hour.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
+1 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, so baseball is done as far as I'm concerned, and it couldn't have come a minute too soon for me. I think I was ready to start bleeding internally if it just stopped already. With the Cubs and Sox, they're gone, they're done. Now we can settle into a nice, dull World Series and get them out of here and get into the real sport, the sport that we wait year-round for, the sport that the only sport that's any real fun to watch, the sport that doesn't take up your entire life with 190 million games, one game a week. It's called football. One lousy game a week. That's all it takes out of your life. Is that 162? Since when am I supposed to fall 162 games? Where does baseball get off demanding 6 months out of my life? And hockey's not much better and bad. 85 freaking hockey games. 85! The same boring up and down the ice. At least if I'm going to look at football, they're only putting it on me once a week. All I got to do is look at those clowns one time a week. Then the rest of it is all about their drug habits and how they're trying to kill their wives with Humvees. And, you know, in other words, they kind of balance it out. It's very entertaining. But the Red Sox lost, and they lost for the same reason why the Chicago Cubs lost, and I gave that reason last night. It's because they need to bulldoze Fenway Park, get rid of it, and never, ever again try to resurrect all of that Marvy stuff. The tradition of baseball is what's... You know, baseball, seriously, has been destroyed because of its tradition. It doesn't move forward. It's scared to make changes. It's scared to reach into the future because it has this unreal grip on the past. In other words, baseball sees itself as America's sole connection to its better days, whatever those were supposed to be. I always love people talking about the better days of America. When was that? What decade? What century? Well, Phil, they're talking about the turn of the century. And the turn of the century, the better days. You mean back when there was like Plessy versus Ferguson and blacks were riding in the back of rail cars and they were still treating syphilis with like sticking a hot poker up your you-know-what? That? What do you mean syphilis? Is that some concern of yours? Maybe. What are you talking about, the good old days? So the Red Sox are done. It's now going to be the Yankees and Marlins. It'll be the Marlins in four. And anyway, and I'm telling you, it just get rid of Fenway Park. Get rid of Wrigley Field. And you know that the city of Boston will build you a stadium because the people of Boston are that group of people that will actually vote money toward a stadium. There are cities like that left, but more and more cities, of course, don't want to do that. L.A.'s one. We aren't going to put one nickel of public money toward a ballpark. That's why there's no football team here. You notice it's really breaking us up that there isn't one. You'll notice that we're just slitting our wrists over that. On any given Sunday, I just see a whole bunch of people in L.A. going over the lack of a football team. Go out to any sports bar in this town, and they got a TV. Here's the Bears. Here's the Jets. Here's the Bills. Here's the this. Here's the that. Go to my house. I got five TVs going with five. Who cares? But Boston, they'll do it. Chicago, well, they built that new Soldier Field for the Lions. What is the name of the team over there? The Bears? You sure it ain't the Lions? I thought it was the Detroit Bears. So they build a new stadium for them, and they build a new one for the Sox. Build a new one for the Cubs. Do them a favor. Get them into a new stadium and get them out of that tradition that is strangling them to death. If baseball is to survive at all in either one of those cities. But to give you, just so you know, and I haven't explained, what makes this so amusing is that the Red Sox, they have a thing called the Curse of the Bambino in Boston. They have a thing called the Curse of the Billy Goat in Chicago. Did you hear about that? The Billy Goat curse goes back to a place called the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago in 1945 when the Cubs were last in the series, and some guy that owned the Billy Goat Tavern tried to bring his Billy Goat into Wrigley Field. He said, I want two tickets, one for me and one for my goat. And naturally, the guy at the gate said, you ain't bringing that goat in here. And the guy said, okay, then because of that, the Cubs will never go to another World Series. And they haven't, because he pissed off the Billy Goat. The Red Sox in 1919 sold Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees. Babe Ruth was a good pitcher with the Red Sox, but he became a great baseball player with the Yankees. They needed the money in Boston because the owner of the Boston Red Sox at that time was a Broadway producer. He wanted to produce a show, which closed in 3 days. And, of course, Babe Ruth went on to become, well, fat, rich, and great. And, oh, yeah, drunk. And Babe Ruth, of course, is synonymous. There isn't anybody that doesn't know Babe Ruth. And since then, the Red Sox have not won a World Series. And this is the thing that fuels sports. The curse of the Bambino, the Billy Goat curse. The New York Rangers hadn't been to a hockey final in a long time, in 40 years or something. They finally won it, what, back in 90 or something, 93? And these things, you know. And thank God I don't live in any of those towns. Man, it's been 150 years since the Dodgers won a World Series. This is great, isn't it? Yeah. Sure is. Well, if you're going to put your guts into a team, may I recommend football, professional football. It is a marvelously violent game, yet it combines the violence of warfare with the intricacies of chess and Chinese checkers. And it is also very colorful. It is arena style and gladiatorial. It is an event because it's only once a week. You can follow the game much easier because of that. Statistics are easier to follow. The game has instant replay because they care about the rules in baseball or in football. They don't have union referees, but nobody seems to care. And let's see, what else? Oh, and they got interesting cities like Jacksonville, Nashville, Bogalusa, you know, Green Bay, busted whistle, you know, wide spot in the road, Texas, spit from one city limit to the next, Wyoming. They got some great towns, great football towns. So this weekend, enjoy a football game with the one you love. All right, 1-800-449, and if there is no one that you love, then come on over to my house. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up today, speaking of football, Joe Dickhead and the Professor with their weekly picks. They are 55-32 this year. Not bad. It's about 65%. You know, if you do that in Vegas, they'd, you know, the phone would be ringing off the hook. Kobe's love tips. More from Kobe Bryant and his love tips. Today, he'll be talking about what to give your wife for an anniversary present. And Jeff Dowder will have his computer show, the Jeff Dowder computer show, later on. It's all coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I noticed this, and I don't know. At first, I didn't want to, or I didn't care to comment. I didn't really have an opinion. And then I thought more about it. I thought, you know, I do. Pamela Anderson is on KFC's case. She doesn't want anybody eating there until they start treating the chickens better. Pamela Anderson. She is, I guess she's either a member of PETA or she's a supporter of PETA. And she said she's going to be getting back to PETA and tell them how bad they treat the chickens over at KFC. Look, if they're treating chickens bad, that sucks. I haven't eaten at KFC personally in many years. I eat at Popeye's, which is not all that great either, but it's good and greasy. And, you know, it's not, who are we kidding? What are you talking about, Chris? The stuff sucks, too. But, no, I like it. It's got that nice spicy flavor. Anyway, Pamela Anderson, I started thinking about her. And the more I thought about her, the more I realized that I think I'd rather eat at KFC than have sex with her. And I'll tell you why. She is infected with a disease called hepatitis, and it is potentially lethal. And I don't know how she got it, but I could probably guess. And frankly, there isn't anything the least bit appealing about her anymore. Now, I know there are a lot of you guys out there, most of you riding in cars that are about 3 inches off the ground, that still think she's real hot. Any guy that still thinks Pamela Anderson's hot has fuzzy dice hanging from his rearview mirror, I guarantee it. Any cat that still thinks Pamela Anderson's hot wears a cross necklace, has a little bit of gold on his wrist, and he's got that Playboy air freshener. You know that one? I'm telling you, because she's like old news. I'm sorry, Ms. Anderson. I realize it's not polite of me, but I think it's also, you know, I think I ought to be allowed because you've sort of, you know, you have paraded yourself as a sex object. You that's the part you've played, right? I mean, that's your thing. I mean, that's, you're like the, I don't know what the hell, you're like the Marilyn Monroe or something? Or what are you, more like Jane Mansfield, I guess, kind of the poor man's Marilyn Monroe. With the big breasts, and in fact, I like KFC more than you because their breasts are real. But I mean, what's pumping through those chickens is a lot better than hepatitis, I'll tell you that. I mean, let's be seriously. Ms. Anderson, you are now officially a skank. Pamela Anderson in 10 years is going to look like Carol Channing. Tell me that's appealing. Go ahead. Tell me that's appealing. She'll be sitting on a can someplace going, I didn't have any corn. Oh, God. It's just, isn't it organic, folks? Speaking of free range, isn't it kind of a free range feeling when a celebrity starts telling you all about animal rights? Doesn't it just kind of grip you right down there around your testicles and squeeze? Of all of the people that you'd like to have a serious discussion with about the relative rights of animals and cruelty, why do I have to talk to another TV actor about it? Bob Barker, Kim Novak, Pamela Anderson, Rue McClanahan, Bobby Darin, I don't know. Linda freaking Blair is on the bandwagon now. Ever since she puked up that guacamole or whatever, I think there was actually more of a chicken salad. She's pea soup. I think there was a little bit of chicken in it. She's had a lot of guilt. And every time there's an animal situation, what is it with you people with the acting community and the animal thing? You know what? You know what it is? Because you're spending too much time with your freaking poodle. That's what it is. You're sitting around the pool with a poodle or the chihuahua or something like that. You know, it was a terrible thing that guy did in San Francisco, but there have been times I wanted to grab a small dog out of the arms of an obnoxious woman and just chuck it right out of the middle of a storm, like a storm channel. Oh, yeah? I used to be I was a kennel boy in an animal hospital when I was 19. No, I never mistreated the animals. I never did. But there were times, I mean, I love dogs and I love cats. I was bit, I don't know how many times, 5, 6, 7 times. I got scars on my hands still from being bit by these dogs that these people would bring into this animal hospital. And I worked for these two doctors, and the people would come in with, his name is Cokie, and he's so sweet. I'll bet he is. And you get him in the back, he's like, arr, arr. And you want to just drop kick it. We had a chow coming. You ever know what a chow dog is? That's the most vicious, brutal animal on earth. A chow would take a chow's psycho. At least the Doberman Pinscher and even a pit bull to some extent have some sensibility. They have a sense of right and wrong. They have a conscience. The chow is an animal in every sense of the word. The chow dog doesn't care. I think it was abused as a puppy. The chow is the Nazi of dogs. And that thing will bite anything. It'll bite a human, it'll bite a tree, it'll bite a car, it'll take a bite out of a bulldozer, it'll eat your kid, your cat. So I'm back there one time with the doctor, one of the doctors, this long-haired, bearded doctor. He says to me, now listen, the minute that thing turns around, Phil, to bite me, you pull on that leash, right? Because I had the dog in front, and he was going to give the dog a shot in the back, and he had the dog's tail, and I got the thing. Well, something happened. I let loose of the leash, and this chow dog turned around, and this doctor with this... So the next thing I know, I see this doctor grab the chow in a headlock and says, you're effing with a man! Starts beating on its face. Boom! Anyway, I get it about animals. You know, I dig them, and who doesn't like an animal? Anybody that doesn't like an animal. Actually, I'd like to hang out with someone who doesn't like animals, because you probably would like humans more. People that like animals too much, of course, hate human beings. There is an unnatural love that some people have for animals that is at the expense of humans, and humans are a more worthy object of your love. Animals are not more worthy than humans. Humans are more worthy of your love. Why? Because we're higher on the evolutionary plane. We're capable of greater good. We may be capable of greater evil, but we are capable of greater good, and so therefore we're far more worthy. And people who are addicted to their pets, you know, let me just say this. I see them all the time, and they're not friendly people. I tell you about that lady I was in the car once the other day, and I'm trying to go up to the counter, and her stupid, dumb dog is standing there, and I tripped over the dog, right? And she goes, he's a little slow. So all I said was, yeah, I can see that, right? And as she's going out, she turns around and goes, what a grouch. I was just agreeing with her. And along comes Pamela Anderson and KFC. You're going to start messing with some of the finest chicken that's ever been chicked? Listen, chick, don't mess with my chicken. That old man, Colonel Sanders, I tell you what, you'd be a sight for his sore eyes, baby. I bet you Sanders wouldn't even get in the chicken business that he's seen you. Pamela, you came along maybe 20 years too late. Poor old Colonel Sanders, if you would have been standing there bedside with him, he would have gotten out of the chicken business, the walrus business, I don't care, whatever business he's in, just to, you know, put you between two pieces of bread. And now you're bumming on his chicken? If he'd come along a little bit sooner, he would never have got into the chicken business. Ms. Anderson, you have hepatitis, baby. You are skanky. You are funky. And all this crap that's going on in your life, man, I tell you what, you bought all of it. Hook, line, and sinker. Anybody stupid enough to marry half the clowns you married? Oh, my God. I mean, you're producing babies with Tommy Lee? That guy's a... What is he? He's a good drummer, and other than that, the guy is, well, you know, he's like a mongoloid. The cat is just, he's good at beating on them skins and probably, you know, and then the other thing. And yeah, oh, yeah, I forget. Yeah, he's just so studly. Yeah, I forgot all about him. Good for him. Because other than those two things, that guy's walking into buses. He's walking out in front of traffic cops. Then who's the other guy she was married to? Oh, she's hanging out with Kid Rock. That's about her speed. These guys are all lowbrow, quasi-lame, sort of that sweaty Midwestern look rock and rollers. And he also went out with Scott Baio. Well, Scott Baio's okay, isn't he? He's not. Okay. Chris is he's the cool meter on the show, and he thinks Scott's a fag, but I would never say that on the air. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't say that, and I apologize. Well, actually, he did. In July, PETA filed suit against KFC, accusing the company of making misleading statements on its website regarding how the chickens it sells are treated. PETA contends, look, nobody's shopping at KFC anyway anymore, are they? The whole thing's going toward healthy chickens. Everybody wants to eat a healthy chicken. That's why nobody wants you, Pamela. Now then, seriously, man, you go over there to, what's that joint that everybody, Baja Fresh. I go there all the time. The best. The best. BJ's is fantastic. How about that place? Oh, there's a joint up in Thousand Oaks, Joanna Fina's. You ain't had better Mexican food. It's called Joanna Fina's. It's on Teo Boulevard. They don't advertise in the show. I'm not getting any money. But I went over there, and guess what? They got a selection of tequila that'll knock your freaking beak off. They got the Don Julio Blanco, Añejo, and Reposado. They got Cabo freaking Wabo for all of you guys that are just all over Sammy. They got Margaritaville, and which is swill, by the way, but we love you, Jimmy. They got it all, man. Joanna Fina's and the food, oh my God. It's outstanding, man. And Marie and I went up there on a Saturday morning. The kids were gone. And we started in on the margaritas at about 10 o'clock. What do you think about that? It was great. What's the other healthy joint, people? That Subway everybody's eating over there and there. Nobody wants the greasy stuff anymore anyway, PETA. So why don't you give it a break? Why don't you give it a rest, okay? Why don't you sit on the eggs for a while? See what hatches. KFC is doing it. What are you looking around to start problems for? KFC ain't going to be around in a long, in about 6 months to a year to 2 years to 3 years. They'll be dead. Dead in the water, man. They'll be dead ducks. Because I think their business is a little foul. Exactly. I think the whole thing's a shell game myself. I'm just yoking. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, it's Kobe Bryant's Love Tips. To call Kobe, 1-800-449-8686. Don't be lonely and sexless. Don't be sex-starved. Kobe Bryant's on the line.
Kobe, do it, baby.
Now here's Kobe Bryant of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, how you doing? Kobe Bryant back with Kobe's Love Tips. Today we will be talking to a couple on anniversaries. What to get her on an anniversary. Love it. All right. You know that I'm the king when it comes to knowing how to treat a lady. I'm listed in the Guinness Book of Records as a Love Stud 2003. I love the woman five minutes. Let's go to the phones now. How you doing?
Mr. Bryant, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yes, this is Don Nielsen calling from Las Vegas. I've enjoyed listening to you and certainly watching you play for the Lakers for a long time.
Thank you. What can I do for you here on Kobe's Love Tips?
Yes, Kobe. My wife and I will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and I wonder what the best gift to get her would be.
You know, that's a very, very good question, Don. I think that a woman you've been married to for 25 years deserves the Kobe Bryant touch.
Well, that's what I'm certainly hoping to hear from you, sir.
All right, now listen up real good, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now what you do is, you come home on that very special night. You get out of the car. You're walking down the sidewalk. You're coming through the front door. You see your lady there. And I want you to have under your arm some flowers.
Yeah, yeah, flowers.
And I want you to have, on the other hand, a box of chocolates.
Yeah, a box of chocolates.
Yeah. And then I want you to throw them outside onto the street and bend her over a chair and pull down her panties.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bryant. I'll try it forthwith.
You got it, my brother.
Jesus, what was that?
All right, let's get another call up here. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm a little bit nervous, Mr. Bryant. I've listened to you for a lot of years, and I know that you're the sex stud.
Man, I am. What can I do for you?
Kobe, my wife and I can't seem to agree on the best school for our son. What would you suggest that we do?
Well, you know what I would do? I'd like to sit down with my wife and discuss in a very equanimous manner how we might go about the tuition of our child. And then I'd bend her over a chair and I'd pull her panties down. Now, let's go to another call here on Kobe's Love. You know, you've got to say that right, man. You want to get tickets to the Lakers game. Say it, Kobe. Nah. Who's on the line with me?
Well, I am, Mr. Bryant. My name's Ben. I'm in Redondo Beach.
All right, say it with me now. Kobe's Love Tips.
Kobe's Love Tips.
That's all right, man. Stay on the line for two Laker tickets. All right. All right. All right, let's go now to another call. How you doing?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bryant. Am I on the air?
You certainly are, sir. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. I'm calling up for some of the sexual tips that you might give to me. My name is Lloyd Bonafide. I'm 78 years of age, and my wife and I have been married now for 40-some years.
Yes, sir. And what can Kobe do?
Well, I certainly find it unusual to be taking this advice from a black man, but nonetheless...
Now, brother, you know I can help you out. Don't worry.
All right. How do we get the passion back into our relationship? My wife and I have not really had conjugal relations in quite some time, Mr. Bryant, and I understand that you're a very experienced man in these matters.
All right. Your name is Lloyd, right?
Yes, sir. Lloyd Bonafide, United States Navy, Korean War, 1950-1952.
All right. Here's what you do, Lloyd. You know, to get the passion back in your relationship, what you need to do is go out to the park where there's a nice lake, you know, and a beautiful scenery.
Uh-huh.
And where they rent boats, you know, and you can go out in the middle of the lake in a boat. But I want you to, when you go out to that park, bring along a chair.
Bring along a chair, yeah. To put in the boat?
That's right. I want you to put it in the boat. Now, you get out of the middle of that lake, and you're swimming along, and you're just paddling along. And did you bring the chair?
Yes, sir. I have the chair in the middle of a canoe. I don't know for what...
Just listen to me. You get on out there, make sure you got yourself some nice picnic lunch and maybe a big bottle of wine. Then bend her over the chair and put it to her.
Oh, yeah, okay, now I understand.
You get it now, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, I do, sir. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, sir.
Thank you. Well, that's all we've got time for here on Kobe Love Tips. And remember, get the passion back into your relationship. Get the love back into your relationship. It only takes 5 minutes a month.
Kobe Bryant's love tips are also available at LALakers.com.
Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm just laughing. This guy's going to ruin the sports entertainment business. I mean, he's going to sue every team that ever loses. They need to put disclaimers on all the tickets.
There is precedent. There are people who are suing professional sports franchises because they are not giving a proper return. Keep in mind that these ball clubs are subsidized in many instances by tax money.
Well, this is just an entertainment business, and there's that's part of the rivalry of the sports, is you and the other guy, you both say you're great. Who's going to be great? Well, whoever wins. And what is your concept of good or great? If I say I'm great, I might think I'm great. Doesn't mean you think I'm great.
Okay, this guy Hutchins has followed me to the bus station because he wants me to get a skirt on.
You deserve to wear a skirt. You made a lousy bet. You need to stick to it and then never bet again and quit watching sports. Sounds like you need to start watching figure skating, something that you don't have to worry about the competition level too much.
So there you go. You're calling me gay, too.
Well, I know.
<That's right. laughs> I don't know what
this
you
is
think
the best entertainment I've heard on a radio show. I can't believe you're serious.
Man, you got to sue for $200 million. There isn't going to be a jury in the world that's going to give you they may.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They may not give me $200 million. They may give me $50 million. But the point is, come on, Steve, leave me alone.
Well, the sad part is they're probably going to pay him off early anyway just to keep him to shut his mouth.
Well, that's the part that I don't like. It'll be a courthouse step lawyering where they'll give you a few million.
Wait a minute. This is a class action suit. Leave me alone, Roy. This is a class action suit representing Cub fans everywhere. Don't ever cut my ass.
Now I'm a Cubs fan. I want a slice of that pie as well, then.
Yeah, okay. See how honest you are? You aren't honest at all. I'm the guy that's
Hey, I like the Cubs. I like Sammy Sosa. Hey, just like everybody else. I bet some money on him. I lost $20. You going to reimburse me?
I've lost $120,000, and I'm the guy that's having to get into a skirt.
You might need to go see a psychiatrist is what you probably need.
Why do you say?
But Mr. Bozell, you were obsessing over something. Are you telling me this guy followed you to the airport?
I'm at a bus station. He's here. What do you want? He says that my wife wants me to come home.
Well, what are you running away?
Hey, while you're at it, see your kids too for defamation of character. They're embarrassing you.
Okay. Do you have kids?
I do have kids.
Yeah? Do you love them? Why are you laughing?
Mr. Bozell, if you want your children to be proud of you...
Look at that. He's got a Kobe jersey on and an eggplant hanging out of his pants.
If you want your children to be proud of you, then you need to act like a man.
Well, this guy says that I deserve to wear a skirt.
Not only do you deserve to wear a skirt, but you need to take pictures and send them out to all your friends.
Say that again, sir.
They need to take pictures of him wearing the skirt and send it out to all his friends.
Oh, God. Thanks a lot, Damon.
Yeah, all right, have a good one.
Yeah, I got the panties, okay? Now leave me alone.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, by the way, that was, who was that? That was, it was Steve Bozell from yesterday's show. He lost a bet on the Cubs, and his friend said that means that Kobe's got to go, or he's got to go dressed as the woman, and his friend's going to go dressed as Kobe to a costume party. By the way, seriously, Phil Jackson was quoted in the news source today as saying Kobe may play tonight, right? He may play tonight, but no more than 5 minutes. Honest to God, look it up. I think that's the operational number there for Kobe from now on. 5 minutes. In basketball and women, 5 minutes. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be taking phone calls now for the next hour and 15 minutes. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From high atop the Las Vegas Strip, this is Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks.
And I'm the professor, and I'm going to be doing my picks hopped up on Dexedrine. Joe the professor, or Joe's going to be doing...
I'll do it. I'll be doing my picks stoned on marijuana. Go ahead, you do it first.
I already took my Dexedrine a half hour ago. I think Baltimore, Cincinnati, it's going to be Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's really good. I think Marvin Lewis got to win a game. I swear to God, he's got to win a game, man. Cincinnati over Baltimore.
All right, let me take a hit. Dallas at Detroit. Hello.
Come on, man, make a pick, will ya? You're driving me out of my right car.
Whoa.
Wow. What are you talking about, man? Okay, it's Dallas. All right.
Denver, Minnesota. I like Minnesota. Go ahead. It's your pick now. It's your pick. I think Minnesota, Dallas, and Cincinnati. Minnesota, Dallas, and Cincinnati. Go ahead. I'm high on Dexedrine, and you're high, and you're,
Hey, slow down, man. Come on, baby. Everything's good. It's all good.
Come on, dickhead. You're sounding like a dickhead. Okay, Green Bay and St. Louis. I think it's going to be Green Bay. New England, Miami. I think it's going to be New England. New Orleans and Atlanta. I think it's going to be New Orleans. So you take the next picks. Go ahead. You take the next picks, okay? I really hope that New Orleans wins. I really hope New England wins. I really hope Green Bay. Take the next picks, buddy. Come on, will you please?
Here's something, baby. You know what you ought to do is just, like, I did transcendental meditation.
I beat him to death in a homicidal speed rage. All right, Philadelphia, the Giants, I think it's going to be Philadelphia, San Diego, Cleveland, I think it's going to be Cleveland, Tennessee, Carolina, it's going to be Tennessee, New York, Jets, Houston, I think it's going to be New York, Chicago, Seattle, I think it's going to be Seattle, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Washington, Buffalo, it's going to be Washington, Kansas City, Oakland, it's going to be Kansas City. I need to come down, I need to come down, I need to really, I need to mellow out, I need to smooth out. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, that's good. I beat Joe to death.
He's dead.
And Joe next week for more Joe Dickhead Picks with the Professor.
What do you think, man? Do you think he actually beat Joe to death in a Dexedrine-fueled homicidal rage? Oh, my God. I just came out of the men's room, and I heard the professor giggling maniacally. Wow. Well, there they are. Who did he like? He likes Cincy over Baltimore. What is it with him in Cincinnati anyway? He really believes in Marvin Lewis over there. He's got Dallas over Detroit. I think that's smart. He's got Minnesota over Denver. Absolutely, without question. Without question. Playing at home. Yeah, Denver ain't that great. Isn't that what you told me, Mark? Because I'm going with you on that. Green Bay at St. Louis. Green Bay. St. Louis is a shadow of their former four-legged Ram selves, man. They just can't get anything done right. Let's see. New England at Miami. New England? Really? I don't think so, man. I disagree with you, Joe. If you were still alive and not beaten to death with a telephone receiver, I would have a little debate with you on that. New Orleans at Atlanta. He's got New Orleans. Yeah, Atlanta's pathetic. As usual, no Michael Vick, no Atlanta. And even with Michael Vick, you ain't got no Atlanta. Philadelphia at the Giants. Philly ought to be able to handle the Giants, huh, Joe? All right. He's got Cleveland over San Diego. That's a no-brainer. You could see that one in preseason. You knew that was going to happen. He's got Tennessee over Carolina. Absolutely. Carolina will have a huge test against Tennessee. Tennessee's red hot. They lose. So sad. My dad. Also, we're going to have the Jets at Houston. The Jets will pick up another win over Houston. No problem at all. See, Testaverde, what's the big problem with him now? You say he can't find a receiver. He's got a great arm. He's not a leader. He's not a leader. Plus, he's got to have somebody just go, I'm over here, Vinny, and I'm wide open by about 10 yards. Now we got Chicago at Seattle. Seattle. Tampa Bay at San Francisco. San Francisco with an upset? Wow. At home, 49ers over Tampa Bay, Washington at Buffalo. He likes Washington. And then Kansas City, Oakland. Kansas City Chiefs will make a mockery out of Oakland. Speaking of Oakland, Bill Romanowski has been sued by his teammate, the guy that he punched during practice. I'd have to get the story. Forgive me. I don't know the exact name of the man. But it was during preseason. It was during their training camp. That Bill Romanowski, as a linebacker, got into a fight with this, I believe, a lineman. It was some kind of contretemps on the practice field. He punched the guy, and in so punching him, the man missed the season. He has missed the season. Romanowski apologized. Well, now Romanowski's being sued. It was Marcus Williams. What position does he play? I think he was a defensive player, isn't he, or he's an offensive player? In any event, Marcus Williams has sued him. He's sued Bill Romanowski, and he's going to win the lawsuit. He's going to win the lawsuit. Here's what's going on these days, if you haven't figured it out yet. The little guy, the guy that used to get beaten up and left in the dirt, the guy that used to get his ass kicked in the bar and left there, well, what they're doing now is they're turning around and they're filing these civil suits. This was pioneered, not so much pioneered, but this was made very famous by the a Brown family in suing O.J. Simpson for the wrongful death of their daughter. What happens now, if you throw hands at somebody and you knock your, you knock one of their teeth out or you bust their nose or something, they're going to slap you with a lawsuit. Now, if you don't mind them owning you and the rest of your family for the rest of your life, then have at it, baby. And then the other thing that happens, and this is very scary, but you got to know that it's happening now more and more, the little guy that takes a beating goes home and gets his gun. And I don't know how big, no matter how big a guy is, I don't know any of them that can eat bullets. I don't know one of them that can stop a bullet. So this is just part and parcel of the world we live in. Is it frivolous? In this case, no, I don't think it is. In this case, this is it's necessary. You know, this idea that there is something positive about solving your problems, unless your life is in jeopardy. You see what I'm saying? Unless your life is at risk, then you have every right in the world to deliver violence upon one who would give violence to you. You have every right in the world to stop them in their tracks. But if this is some kind of a bar fight over the fact that someone spilled a drink, and you're throwing hands on somebody, they're going to turn around, pal, and slap you with a lawsuit, and you're going to wind up owing about 5 years worth of salary to them. So good luck. Now, this guy Romanowski, who's, you know, hanging on at the age of 38, he ain't no, this guy is no big blessing to the Raiders these days. He probably ought to hang it up. He's just one more arthritic pair of knees that that team's got. Now, on top of everything else, he's got a teammate that's going to sue him because he punched the guy and the guy missed the season. Al Davis has been sued. The football team ain't winning. Go Raiders. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up today, we have, that football coach, Paul Tubby Lane. And Jeff Dowder's computer show, all ahead on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Here's a topic you'll never hear anywhere except on our show. In fact, one of our characters dealt with it once. Dr. Jim Sadler, when he was a obstetrician, I think he was, you know, giving birth to babies. I mean, he wasn't giving birth; he was assisting women in the birth of their babies. And he found out that some women actually curse and swear while they're giving birth to a baby. So his way of dealing with it was to punch the women so hard he knocked them out cold and continued to help in the delivery of their babies. Here's a topic, though, that you'll never hear anywhere except on our show, and I don't bring it up gratuitously. I bring it up as the result of something else that I've had to read in the newspaper, that I've actually had to read and keep the quarter pounder with cheese that I had with my daughter this afternoon down. Now, which women would you say it's okay to beat the crap out of? I mean, quite literally. What are you talking about, Henry? You have now plumbed the depths. Now, wait a minute. There are categories of women that it would be perfectly fine if you beat them to within an inch of their life physically. I mean, with your fists. Boy, you've really sunk. Oh, really? I've sunk, huh? What about this one? A Pennsylvania woman allegedly wanted to get back at her son and his girlfriend, so she put what turned out to be a deadly dose of salt in their baby's formula. No, wait a minute, that isn't it. Although I would beat her to death, too. Here it is. The prostitute who provided her preteen daughter and niece to former Waterbury Mayor Phil Gordiano for sex was sentenced Friday to 10 years in federal prison. So this woman gave over her 8 and 10-year-old daughters to the mayor of Bridgeport or Waterbury, Connecticut, to provide sexual favors. Now tell me it wouldn't be cool. Tell me that I wouldn't, that wouldn't be right for me to take a baseball bat to her. Go ahead. Are you kidding me? Especially if I was the father of those kids. Of course, if I was the father of those kids, I'd probably get a better price for them, too. You see, now, here's another one. I told you the whole thing with the Kobe Bryant case. If Kobe Bryant's guilty, he ought to go to prison. If he is not guilty, if this woman has wrongfully, knowingly accused him of this crime, he ought to be able to beat her up. I think that would be fair. Look at the hell the guy's going through. Look at the crap we're giving him on our show. Look at the stain on his reputation. Look at the scorn. Look, if you're an average guy, I mean, you never recover from it. Your reputation is shredded for the rest of your life. You're accused of raping a woman. And if she's lying about it, if she's lying on purpose to get back at you. See, there are some women they're so deluded, I think so damaged. There are some women who believe that every time a woman cries rape, it happened. It's true. It really happened, and you must believe the victim, and they would never lie. These women themselves probably were raped, or they were damaged in some way, because I hate to tell you, but not every woman who screams rape is telling the truth. And there are websites devoted to this notion that you must, all the time, no matter what, believe every single woman who ever screams rape. Well, it's ignorant. It's not rooted in reality. It's, I don't know what to say. It's beyond belief. Not only should you not just carte blanche believe every woman who screams rape, but I am of the opinion that if the woman screams rape and she's lying in an effort to destroy a man's reputation, you ought to be able to take a hockey stick to her. You ought to be able to take a freaking cricket mallet to her. I don't think there's anything lower. I don't think anything saves a woman like that. How about these mothers that accuse the father of molestation because they're angry at the father? This too has happened. You talk about ruining a man's reputation. Rape's nothing compared to that. You could kill a guy. People get so angry about that. And this is something that I've come to understand, talking to attorneys, talking to child welfare experts. This is very common. Women who are spiteful and who are looking to get back at a husband that they are filled with vitriol over will knowingly lie about the man and call him a child molester, saying that he molests the children. Knowing, or at least thinking stupidly, thank God we've come a little further in this society, thinking that no matter what he says, he's going to be indicted because that's the most horrific crime and nobody's ever is going to believe the guy. I think a cricket mallet's in order for her. I think a croquet mallet. I think a gardening spade. You name it, man. Just boom, 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 boom. Just like you're driving a stake for a tent. Boom, boom. Till she's like halfway out of the ground. Are you kidding me? And get a load of this woman selling her 8- and 10-year-old daughters into prostitution. There's mental illness there. Obviously, she needs intensive psychotherapy. But I also believe there's some people that are beyond psychotherapy. There are some people that are born and almost immediately turn to garbage. It's an amazing phenomenon, but it does happen. You're born and almost within a year, that baby is beyond help. They're garbage already because the biochemistry is there that makes them ready to accept psychosis. First, you need two things. You need two things to get those kids from Columbine. You need two things to get the woman that sold her kids into prostitution. You need two things to get a woman who would lie about her husband molesting the kids. And those two things are these. You need a biochemical predisposition. Do you understand what I mean by that? Biochemistry in the brain. That means the neurotransmitters have to be firing just off enough to then, number two, if that individual is introduced into a type of negative environment, to then misfire enough to send that person into sort of a sociopathic or psychopathic life condition. That's what happened to those two punks there in Denver. When they said, well, then why were you knocking the parents, Phil? Well, I was knocking the parents because these idiots didn't see it. The kid's living in his room 16 hours a day with the lights turned out and the walls painted black. Gee. Sounds healthy to me. I listened to those parents in Columbine interviewed. I have never heard four dumber human beings in my life. Just dumb. I'm not saying bad. Dumb. Self-obsessed, self-absorbed. Now you have these people who sell their daughter into prostitution. You got this scumbag. Here's some old lady. Well, this is just flat inbreeding here. Now, see, listen to this. This is the one I started. A Pennsylvania woman wanted to get back at her son and girlfriend because they made fun of her. So she put a lethal dose of salt into their baby's formula. The child suffered brain swelling and died. According to her confession, Long said she only expected her five-week-old granddaughter to spit up the salt. Instead, the infant's brain swelled. The child died within a week. Look, folks, as tempted as you may be to have sex with your own sister, it's just not. Listen, but look what happens to you. Inbreeding, inbreeding, inbreeding. How many times have I got to tell you people that, okay? I know it's fun, but stop it. Just stop it. I know there's a lot of people turning over to the show because of, shall we say, recent cancellations or suspensions. Just stop, right? This show doesn't tolerate inbreeding, all right? I just want you to kind of, I want to give that right out at for, you know, just a statement up front. If you're new to the Phil Hendry Show, we will not tolerate you guys with your mothers, okay? That's just, that I'm drawing a line at that. Oh, my God. And they live together in a trailer north of Philadelphia. Well, ain't don't that just beat all? So anyway, that's what you got. And you got to understand what we're talking about here. You have to, you know, this is not brain surgery, man. You don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa to get this. They are now finding out that it is brain chemistry that causes a great deal of the mental problems that people have. It isn't just the fact that your mama took you off the nipple too soon or you saw the boogeyman when you were three. It has to do with a biochemical disposition toward things. Everybody's chemistry, brain chemistry is different. All the neurons are firing differently inside your head. And if your brain chemistry is off a little bit and you're introduced into a negative home environment, Jim, next stop, suitcases full of body parts up and down the highway. Next stop, Dahmerville. There's a guy, classic example, came into the world with the wrong biochemistry, plus he was born to a couple of parents who, by all accounts, were worthless. Just worthless. Utterly worthless. You cannot, with an individual like that, with a baby like that, a new human like that, you cannot do anything but give them the right kind of love and the right kind of nurturing. Otherwise, well, you see what you get. You got heads in the icebox, baby. You got a big blue canister full of people's livers and body parts. What about this nut they just found? He's got, what is it with these guys in the cans with bodies in them? This guy that they just, what are they doing with him now? Prosecuting him? They found about 16 cans with dead women in them. It's trophy taking. That's what they do. They like to keep a trophy. They open up the lid and look in and go, then they put the lid back. It's freaky, man. Oh, my God. I'd like to be the cop investigating that. I'd have nightmares for the rest of my life. Yeah, these serial murderers, they feel close to these women. They open up the lid and they stare in and they remember, you know, the kill. And they just, ooh, and they get off. And it's just spooky. If I was a cop investigating that stuff, I'm telling you, it would be two big tumblers of Jim Beam before bed every night. Okay, how you doing tonight, Phil? You know the usual. Okay, another tough day. Just don't even talk to me about it. Really tough, huh? Like, I just, you know, I've enough heads in a pickling jar for me this week. Hit me again. Well, I don't think you've had enough to drive. I said to hit me again! Well, who's driving you home, officer? I'm driving myself home. I'm a cop, remember? You guys try to tell me what to do. Officer Hendry, I know that your job is very difficult. You say heads in ice boxes. They're not just in ice boxes anymore. I found one in a kid's backpack. And it was his mom's. All right, I'm out of here, Billy. See you tomorrow night. You got it. I'd hit the siren going home. Oh, my God. This is the world we live in, sports fans. This is the world we have to do battle against. I'm not saying I'm some big crusade. I'm just saying, let's get smart, man. Be smart and arm yourselves. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder's computer show coming up, and Coach Paul Lane on why he believes that threatening the kids with violence before a football game could actually get them to win that game. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686.
Well, Pastor William Rennick paid us a visit yesterday, and he said that he didn't think the Pope was a very good example of celibacy for young people because, well, just look at him.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't understand where you're coming from when you think that celibacy is an evil act. And just hear me out here. Reverend, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're interrupting. Could you just wait a minute?
Yeah, Reverend, please.
Reverend.
Yes, I'll
okay.
listen to you, but I'm just saying, have you heard what
Reverend, I would love to listen to you. If you would just give me a minute to tell you what I heard, what I have to say,
all right,
please.
All right, I'll listen.
Okay, thank you so much. Celibacy, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Celibacy is such an extremely holy act that you are giving absolutely everything, all of your desires, everything over to God. You're giving your sexual desires. You're saying you want to be the father and of the church. You're saying you want to marry the church and care for those people. And the disciples were told to leave their wives, leave their jobs, leave their belongings to go and teach God's word. They were told to leave those things behind so that they could give all of who they are to God. I don't understand why that would be making him sick. Such a holy act.
Stephanie, I'd like to say, I think it's pretty sick. You calling up this program and saying you pleasure yourself to Jesus hanging off of a cross.
Jesus wants everything.
Wait a minute.
That doesn't mean I'm getting off on Jesus.
Well,
that means I love him so much.
You said you're giving all your desire to a man nailed up on a tree?
No, you're being ignorant and misunderstanding what I said, Reverend.
In the Bible, Jesus said, don't judge lest ye be judged. You are judging the Pope.
Reverend, are you a man of God?
Miss, I've got Joyful Union Congregation, a Pentecostal congregation.
Right. Okay, I'm just making sure because you seem like you're judging me, and I thought Christians didn't do that. I'm just trying to make this clear.
You are judging me.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
She was real thick. All right, that's Pastor Rennick there. Get a backstage pass for $6.95 a month. You can hear all of this idiocy. That's right, and you can download it too. All this weird stuff we do in this show, unlike any other talk show in the history of man on this planet. The best talk show of 2003, as named by LA Weekly Magazine. Get a backstage pass for $6.95 a month. And while you're on our website, go to the souvenir shop, pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, the classic or the new Honolulu shirt. Ted's has opened up a new restaurant in Honolulu, as you know. And also the barbecue utensils, also the apron. We have the Bobby Dooley stuff, anywhere from the canvas tote to the spa robes to the polo shirts. It's all there on the Phil Hendry Show website in our souvenir shop, www.philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com. So we're going to the ball game tonight, Catherine? Yep. Going to the football game? Yeah, and our son, Nick, has a problem with his knee. And why am I going to a game I ain't going to see him play? I'm going to sit up there and watch somebody else's kids play? No, that's cool. We support the team. It's all right. You know, we live on a street where people scream, slow down. Don't you live on a street like that? We live on a street where the neighbors, if some clown goes by really fast, they go, slow down! Scares the hell out of people. Or what I do is if I'm going by somebody on my street and they're going really fast, as soon as they get right beside me, I lean on my horn really, you know, really hard. And you can see their car weaving in the rearview mirror like it's just scared the hell out of them. And now they got the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They want to do a movie. You know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I guess, is a good organization. I don't know whether they're helping or they're hurting. Have they helped? I don't know. There's still a lot of people getting wasted and driving their cars. But the problem is this. Okay, look. The only way you're ever going to keep kids from drinking and driving is if their parents set a good example for them that way. You'll never get them to quit any other way. MAD wants to make a movie, and they're going to show it in the schools, and they're going to have NSYNC and J-Lo and everybody else under this Johnny Depp, I don't know who, saying, hi, I'm Johnny Depp, don't drink. And that'll be believable, and a lot of these people that you'd swear to God they had their nose in an ether can just seconds before, and they're saying, hi, I'm Johnny Depp. You shouldn't sniff. Don't huff. Those movies don't work. They don't work. They don't work. They don't work. They never work. They don't work. And you know how long they've had them? They've had them since I was a kid. They've had them since before. I remember when I was in high school. You know who it was? You know who was given the pitch? Sonny Bono. Sonny Bono was given the no drugs pitch. They gave us, they showed us movies in class, giving us the whole pitch. Frank Zappa did the no drug pitch. He did it back in the day. They had this thing, speed kills. So they had these anti-speed commercials. Like, in other words, all the other drugs were good, but speed kills, something like that. And by the way, those after-school specials don't work either. Why don't you start working on the people that you ought to be working on? Work on the freaking parents. Those are the ones that are the danger. Those are the ones that are causing the problems. Those are the ones, by the abdication of their responsibility, are murdering people left and right. They're the ones that are murdering other people's kids because they can't keep their own kids in line. They can't have. They don't have enough time to educate their kids. The parents, the adults, what is it? Is it, is what, in other words, what, is it kind of a bummer, man? Is, are you losing face if you have to point it out that it's the adults that are the cause of kids drinking, that are the cause of teenage pregnancy and everything else? It's the parenting? What is that? Does that, is it wrong to point the finger where it needs to be pointed at the parents? Why do you constantly keep pointing the finger at the kids and failing, failing, failing? Your movies, your stupid anti-drug messages, your stupid campaigns against kids not smoking cigarettes. Why don't you get on the stick and start doing your job, if that's what you think your job is, and start giving it to the people that need to get it, the parents. Tell them the truth. They're screwing up. They're failing. Other than me. Thank you. I'm Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Get ready, everybody, for a wonderful journey into tomorrow. Yes, it's time for Jeff Dowder's Computer Show. Want to know more about personal computers? How can you integrate your personal computer with your home and business life? Jeff Dowder is your friend. He's our computer guy. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show's Jeff Dowder's Computer Show. Jeff will take your questions at 1-800-449-3636. Isn't that it? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-I-forget. And now, here is the number one computer show in America, the Jeff Dowder Computer Show. Everybody, welcome to the Jeff Dowder Computer Show. Today we're going to be getting into a number of questions that I've had. Like, this dude wrote me a letter about how long he's gone without a bath, and also what's the best meal to eat when you're on the computer. A lot of that will be coming up today on the Jeff Dowder Computer Show. And don't forget our numbers, 1-800-333. I think it's 1-800-3, but that's not possible, is it? They're not down to... Are they down to five digits? Okay, no, it's 1-800. Okay, I knew it couldn't be. It could be that. Okay, today on our computer show, we're also going to talk about the nasty ass site of the week. And let's go over now to Buzzy. And Buzzy has always got this week's number one computer complaint. Buzz, what's going on, baby?
Yeah, how you doing, Jeff? Here's what's bugging me this week on the computers. Why are people trying to stop porn pop-ups? I mean, it's free. It's like a little blast of testosterone. It's just a little boobation, man. And it's free, dude. And there's people trying to keep it from happening. Stop with that.
Well, a lot of them say, you know, like little kids. Why there's two little kids on computers anyway? I think little kids, if you find a little kid on a computer, you ought to beat him.
Yeah, beat him. Beat him within an inch of his life, little piece of crap.
What else, man?
Okay, this week, everybody, write it down. Nasty ass site of the week, www.oldsploshers.com. Ooh! Rude! Rude! Say it with me, man.
Rude!
Rude! All right, Jeff, we'll see y'all next week with another nasty ass site and a big complaint from me, Buzzy.
right, always great to hear from the Buster. Yeah, man, I mean, what's up with them trying to stop the porn pop-ups? Okay, now we're going to bring on a good friend of mine, Toby. And, Tobe, I want to ask you a question, man. We got a lot of questions. Is it possible to clear porn from your hard drive and your history? Not really, because it's buried in there, man. So in other words, if I'm giving my computer away or whatever, like I throw it away in a field. I threw a hard drive away one time in a field, thinking, well, if they find it, at least they won't know it was me. It was downloading all them porn sites. Well, that's a good idea, but you can't do it. Okay, man. Look, what if I'm trading emails, like some sex mail with, like some perverted stuff? Yeah, they'll find it, man. Okay, you heard it there, man. It's Toby. You can't get porn off your history. All right, our question of the week. What's the best meal to eat when you're online? And okay, let's go to our first call in Redondo Beach. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing really great. I think pork rinds and Mountain Dew, because that's all you can have time for.
Okay, man, pork rinds and Mountain Dew is good when you're sitting in the basement on a computer. All right, man, what's your name?
My name is Bob Brown, and I live in Manhattan Beach, and my favorite meal on the thing...
All right, man, I lost that, okay? Let's go to another phone call. How you doing, man? And what's your favorite meal on a computer?
Well, I don't have the best colon, but I enjoy a bottle of scotch and raw eggs. And boy, I'll tell you, it's a good thing my computer's in the basement because it stinks. Because you lift a cheek and...
All right. That's all the time we have for Jeff Downer's computer show. Join us next week when Jeff fights the good fight to keep porn pop-ups popping up. See you later, everybody. I'm Jeff Downer, and this is about computers. All right, Jeff, way to go, man. Thank you. Jeff Downer with his computer show. And you'll notice it's always about stuff that's truly about the computer world. Pork rinds, Mountain Dew, porn pop-ups. And how long you can go without a bath. He didn't get into that one. Oldsploshers.com. Oh! Ow! All right, guys. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. I've purposefully stayed away from the big story today, which was that box cutters were found in an airplane, because it's all such overblown and overreactive stuff. FBI questions some clown that left some box cutters on an airplane, some bleach, some clay that looked like plastic, and this guy, allegedly, a 20-year-old North Carolina guy is being questioned. He allegedly left all this stuff on a couple of airplanes to prove that security is lax. All right, now, let's talk about this, because we have to reiterate some things. No hijacking will ever again be successful in the United States. No hijacking will ever again be successful in the United States. No hijacking will ever again be successful in the United States. I'm going to say it one more time. No one hijacking an airplane will ever again be successful in the United States. That's why I don't believe that Al-Qaeda can be that stupid. I don't believe it. Al-Qaeda can't be so stupid that they're planning more hijackings of airplanes in the United States. Number one, you ain't going to fly it into a building. Number two, as soon as the plane's taken over, the passengers will assume that they're dead already, and you'll have to deal with them and the crew. You'll have to kill all of them. I guess just start opening up and machine gunning everybody, I guess, is the thing to do, but that's going to take a long time, man. You better have, and I don't know how you're going to get a freaking machine gun on the plane. Number three, if you think you're going to take a plane with box cutters again, think again. Number four, you may be able to smuggle plastic explosives over on an airplane, but then all you'll be succeed in doing is blowing it up in the sky. And finally, what is the other stuff? Bleach. So that means that they could get some chemicals on the plane and do what? Throw it into the eyes of the pilot? All right, okay, so you throw it into the eyes of the pilot. You still got some 200 other people to deal with. To hijack an airplane in the United States now is a folly, brought on by desperation. And it would take someone with bigger, seriously, more guts than the guys that did the World Trade Center. Those guys are gutless compared to the guts it would take to take a plane now. If there's any good out of 9/11, as I've said before, it's that never again will there be a hijacking of an airplane in the United States that will ever end in anything other than complete and utter failure for the person hijacking the plane. I'm not tired. I don't care if they're trying to get comrades out of jail, if they want to get money for, hostage crisis, if they want to do this, that. The passengers and crew will assume that they're dead people already, and then they'll have nothing to lose. So this 20-year-old guy that smuggled the stuff on the plane, what are you worried about, man? Are you all nervous about something? You scared, man? You afraid somebody's going to jack your plane? Is that it? I don't, personally, and this is just me, I don't care. I mean, honest to God, I really don't. There comes a point where you realize nothing is 100% in this world. And there is nothing in this world that is completely secure. And squeezing life only makes it run right through your fingers like a handful of sand. So you might as well just go out into the world and, like the lady sang once, que sera, sera. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will my life be? Will I be pretty? Will I be gay? This is what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. All right, now. So that's the story with that. And the FBI is questioning this numbskull. Numbskull. He got the good for you. You got box cutters on a plane. Hey, all right. Aren't you smart? Hey, look, my wife got a freaking, Maria got a Swiss Army knife on a plane all the way to New York. And she was mad. She was angry. She got off the plane in L.A. She says, look at this. I got this. I said, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and tell American Airlines right now. I said, honey, forget. No, I'm telling them. I'm upset. I'm angry. I didn't even know I had it, and they didn't check me for it. And so she went and told American Airlines, look at this. I had this in my purse the whole time. You guys didn't find it. Mark Newman had matches on him. I had nail clippers. And my daughter, Catherine, she had a water wiggle. Now, you know what you can do with that? And my son, Christopher, he had a 10-gauge shotgun. And all of that, except for the shotgun, got on the plane. So remember, que sera, sera, what would be... All right, I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, look at this. Pamela Mackey says she got death threats. Oh, quit lying. Pamela Mackey, the attorney for Kobe Bryant, says, and I've had some 30 death threats. You have not. No, you haven't. You're just trying to get sympathy for your client. When somebody calls you a crap attorney, Ms. Mackey, that's not a death threat. That's just you're a crap attorney, which, of course, you're not. You're a great attorney. Just somebody leaves a message on your answering machine and says, you suck. That's not a death threat. That's just a crank phone call. She's leaking this and leaking that. Boy, you need some Depends. She's leaking that she's getting death threats. She's leaking the name of the accuser. She's leaking stuff to the press. She's swimming in every cesspool and septic tank in Colorado, man, to find the stuff. Are you a Cub fan, Ms. Mackey? Then here's something you might appreciate hearing. Because you won't be hearing it much. What are you starting with that again, Hendry? What are you, the baseball thing again? What's the matter? Well, I happen to be a Cub fan, that's why. And I'm a Red Sox fan, and I was hoping, I was praying, maybe. Maybe I got on my knees. Maybe I prayed to God. Yes, God. God. That there might be, possibly, a Red Sox and Cubs series. Well, I'm sorry that didn't happen. Yeah, I know it didn't happen. You got to remind me it didn't happen? Now, here's a quarter. Put some money in the jukebox. Okay. Maybe you like this one. off with the Fox baseball theme. What's that about? I'm sorry, man. I just, here, give me another quarter. You didn't put any baseball stuff. I ain't putting any baseball stuff on. Here, listen to this. Trying to fool around with my head now? Is that what you're doing? I want to see the World Series of the Cubs and Sox, and you're messing with my mind. I'm sorry, man. I just don't get it, you know, but I... Here, this will cheer you up. Listen to this. This will cheer you up. Listen to this. Start it all over again. Well, I know what it is. It's Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Go ahead.
Take me out to the ball game.
Things that Red Sox and Cub fans won't be hearing much in the coming months.
Take me out to the ballgame.
Hey, Cub fans, I know how you're feeling, but I don't know, things could be worse. However, you won't be hearing this much. Hey, Cub fans, come on out to the ballpark. There won't be this, though. There won't be this, though. Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Pamela Mackey says she's getting death threats. She's not getting any death threats. She's not getting anything. She, in fact, she ain't getting any younger either. Kobe Bryant and, you know, and plus, I told you, Phil Jackson said maybe he'll get 5 minutes tonight of playing time. Boy, this is really messing with his head, isn't it? It's really messing with his head. And I'm telling you, it's only one of two things. As I said before, it's only one of two things. Either he's guilty of sin, and he knows it, and it's just, it's eating his guts up, or he is fearful that he's going to be in front of some cracker jury that's going to find him guilty, whether he's innocent or not, because he's a black guy accused of raping a white woman. It's only those two things. Only those two things. There's no other possibility that would explain why he is acting like a nervous freaking Nelly. Kobe, just relax, man. Just take it easy, okay? Just try to think of beautiful things.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out.
You know. Because he's acting like a guilty man, this guy. Get out there on the basketball court and just play freaking basketball. Maybe the last season you have. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. You know, I mean, just relax. Get into the bathroom, clean yourself up. I'm kidding. Well, she has tried her best. She said that the woman is not worthy of anybody's... Here's what's happening with this Mackey, and I think that it's, I think I'm beginning to smell it. There's a little bit of a backlash happening now. A little tiny bit of a backlash happening on this woman, because at first... people thought, well, this is fairly good. She's an advocate, a female advocate for a man, perhaps wrongly accused of a very vicious crime. And as I said, a man who is accused of this crime and is innocent, there aren't too many more dastardly things in the world to do than accuse a man of rape who hasn't raped anybody. Now, he's got this attorney, though, who is doing the usual thing that is done with rape victims. She's trying to bring a... In other words, if there's a motive... for framing Kobe Bryant, wouldn't you bring that up? Wouldn't you find out what that is? There's got to be a reason why she would want to frame a Kobe Bryant. Does she have money problems? Does she have an obsession with Kobe Bryant? Does she have his picture all over her room? Is she a Laker fan? Was she married to a basketball player? Are there reasons why she might have a problem with Kobe Bryant? But instead, this Mackey ain't doing that. She's going down the usual route. She's trying to paint her as a slut. This is a great attorney? Well, I believe that she's a great attorney, but boy, you talk about a defense, man. That's rape defense 101. Let's go after the slut. Let's paint her as a slut. Let's make sure everybody knows she's a slut. Let's get the kind of panties, the color of the panties, the time of the panties, the where she bought the panties, all of that stuff. How many sex partners, when, how, and if. And she's just dirt beneath your feet, and she's not worthy of anything. This is what happens. Ladies, take it from Phil Henry. Just viewing this case, if you're ever raped, don't report it to the police. It's not even worth it. Apparently, it's not worth it. Just go back, lick your wounds, take a shower, go into intensive psychotherapy, your marriage will fall apart, and you'll probably be borderline psychotic the rest of your life. But hey, what's that between friends? Better that than going through this public humiliation. And just think of nice things like...
Take me out to the ballgame.
Hi, Cub fans, this is Harry Carey. Boy, am I glad I'm dead.
Some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the whole...
I'm Harry Carey. I'd rather be cooking in hell than being alive right now.
For it's one.
Cubs lose. Cubs lose.